Our third scripture reading today is a second gospel reading, this one from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. And when you're preaching on one of the few events that appears in all four gospels, it can be difficult to decide which one you want to use. And even the lectionary couldn't decide for this year because the lectionary had both Mark and John. So I'm just doing what the lectionary suggested and reading them both today. So and this morning, for those that came to the sunrise service, we read from Luke. So Matthew's the odd man out this year. We didn't get to read from Matthew, but I encourage you to read Matthew when you get home. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. I'm reading from the New International Version. Hear now the word of our Lord. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciple went back to where the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look in the tomb, and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the reading of God's word for the people of God today. Amen. We come today at last to the empty tomb. We've been talking about this idea of covenant throughout the season of Lent, as well as the various covenants which God has made with his people over the years, over the centuries, the millennia, so that we could live in relationship with God despite our sin. As you know, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, original humanity was without sin, but he gave us a choice to love him and follow him or to turn away from him. And of course, we know what happened. But God did not give up on us. Instead, he set about establishing several covenants with his people so that he could live in relationship with them. Whereas the old covenants were temporary and could not solve the problem of sin once and for all. Finally, we have the new covenant, which is established for all time. Now, on Friday night, we talked about the establishing of that covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice upon the altar of the cross. We know that Jesus gave himself up as the perfect Lamb of God and as the only sacrifice which could not only cover up our sins, but could take them away
entirely.
But the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross is only one small part of that covenant. One small part of the new covenant which was established on that first Holy Week, Holy Weekend, and Easter Sunday. Because on the cross, Jesus took with him the sins of the world. The whole reason that sacrifice became necessary in the Old Testament was to pay the price for the sins of the people. We are told in the scriptures that the wages of sin is death. That for our sin, all deserve to die. But out of his great love and out of his great mercy, God provided a way early on for people to avoid that punishment of death by allowing them to offer up sacrifices where the death of an animal took their place for a short time. But then finally, with Jesus' sacrifice upon the cross, we had the final atoning sacrifice, the death for all deaths. And Jesus died the death that each one of us deserves, therefore paying the price for our sins. But we still have a problem. Because see, it wasn't enough that the debt of our sins be paid, because we still have a fundamental flaw. Because of the curse of original sin, even though we live and breathe, we are dead without Christ. In the beginning, when God first planted the trees in the Garden of Eden, and he told Adam, "Do not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because on the day that you eat it, you will die." Well, of course, we know how the story went. Adam and Eve went, and they took from the tree. They ate from the tree. And what happened? Did they die? Not physically. They went on to procreate all of humanity. The testament that we are sitting here right now is that they did not die the day that they ate the fruit. Does that mean that God lied? Or was mistaken? Absolutely not. He doesn't do that. He never lies and he's never mistaken. So what did he mean that on the day that they ate it, they would surely die? Well, he was speaking of a spiritual death. On the day in which they ate from the tree, they became spiritually dead. And so are we. We are born into this world already dead in our spirits. And our sin just creates a further barrier to keep us from the Lord. And while under the old covenant they could pay the price for their sins with the blood of animals, it still didn't solve the problem of their own spiritual demise. When the people who were under the old covenant died here on earth, they could not ascend into heaven with God. Rather, they went to a place which Judeo-Christian tradition names Abraham's bosom. It was a place of rest. The closest thing that, in our Protestant understanding, the closest thing in Scripture to purgatory. It was a place of waiting, what some might call a place of limbo. It was neither torture nor was it paradise. That was as far as they could go because they were still dead to God. And no amount of blood sacrifices could solve that for them. And even for us, not even the blood of Jesus on the cross was enough for us to receive new life. It was enough to take away our sins, but not to solve the problem of our death. Therefore, the covenant was not complete without the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For while he was dead for those 3 days in the tomb, we are told in the scriptures that he went and he ministered to those who had already died. He ministered to those who died under the old covenant. We don't know exactly what he said to them. But when he rose from the dead, he brought them with him, those who believed in him. When he rose from the dead, he paved the way so that we too might gain new life. We are told that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was the first fruits of the resurrection that is available for all of us. And it wasn't like the resurrections we had already seen. Jesus performed many miracles during his time on this earth, including raising people from the dead. Not that long before the events of Holy Week, we see the raising of Lazarus, who was risen after 4 days. But that was not an eternal resurrection. Lazarus died again. As a side note, when he died the second time, they didn't put him back on the original tomb because they thought he'd just walk back out again. But he died again. And so would we die if not for the resurrection. Jesus said when he rose Lazarus, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who come to me, even though they die, yet shall they live." And that resurrection, that life that we receive in Jesus Christ comes through his very own resurrection. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we who put our trust in him are promised a resurrection of our own. In the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we receive new life. That's good news, amen? Are you all awake out there? Some of you are. Jesus paid the price for our sins on that Friday night when he gave himself up on the cross. But on Easter, he was raised to new life so that we too might receive life in him. And on that day, all those who believed in him gained back that which they had lost in their sin. In the same way, those of us who are alive now, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we undergo a spiritual resurrection. In the new birth, in the second birth, the birth of the Spirit, we are born again. We are raised to new life in Christ Jesus. That is a part of the symbolism of immersion in baptism. Now, of course, you know, we acknowledge all three main forms of baptism: immersion, sprinkling, and pouring. And each of those has a symbolism applied to it. And in immersion, we see the symbolism of dying to your old self and rising again to new life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that resurrection is possible only through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There are those in this world who teach that Jesus did die on the cross, but they deny the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ did not rise to new life, then we are doomed to an eternity of suffering. Or at the very least, an eternity of limbo. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there can be no new life. There can be no heaven for us. But the covenant that God made with us, the new covenant, is one not only of the forgiveness of sins, but of resurrection. That is the promise that we have, that all those who believe in him will be raised, first spiritually, and we undergo that spiritual resurrection the moment that we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But he has also promised us that in the end of time, when Christ comes again, there will be a physical resurrection for each and every one of us. On that day, when Christ returns in glory, all those who have died will physically rise to new life in Him. And our resurrected bodies will rise to meet the Lord in the air. Those who have already died will have new bodies made for them. And it doesn't matter how they were buried, or even if they were buried. God made the first bodies from the dust of the earth. If He needs to, He doesn't need bones and anything else that's buried in a casket. He can make new bodies out of the dust again. Resurrection is a reality for all those who believe in Jesus Christ. And so when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we celebrate also the resurrection that is promised to each and every one of us. And that is why we celebrate. That Christ died for our sins, paying the price that we could not. He rose to new life so that we too might rise again. And as we will celebrate a little less than 50 days from now, 50 days from a few days ago, Christ has sent His Holy Spirit to guide us in the new covenant. In the same way that He sent the prophets of old, He sends the Holy Spirit to speak into our hearts so that we might continue to find that new life in Him each and every day. Brothers and sisters, we serve a risen Savior today. Our Savior is not still on the cross. The cross is empty. He is not still in the tomb. The tomb is empty. And He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father as our great High Priest and King, interceding on our behalf. That is the good news of the resurrection, brothers and sisters. That there is new life available for all those who turn to Him. That is why we celebrate. But let us not keep it to ourselves. We know because of the testimony of those who first witnessed the resurrection. We know because even if they didn't say anything right away, those who witnessed the resurrection shared the good news with others. We too are called to share the good news of the resurrection. The Apostle Paul writes, "Blessed are those who carry the gospel." He writes also that only those who believe in Jesus Christ may be saved. And how can they believe if nobody ever tells them? We are called to share the good news so that not only we may share in the resurrection, but all may share in the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. As you go from this place today, here in a little bit, go carrying the good news of the gospel that Christ has died, but He didn't stay in the tomb. He rose again. He ascended into heaven and He is coming again one day so that all those who believe in Him may receive resurrection in Him and eternal life in heaven. Let us share the good news of the gospel. Christ is risen.
Amen.